Open our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our study in the spiritual armor that God has equipped each and every one of us with as believers in Christ to help us, having done all, to stand. Now, the standing has to do with waging war on a spiritual level with our great adversary. It's not just simply to hole up in our safe place and withstand his attacks, but rather it's all about being on the offensive, taking the battle to his area and trying to rescue souls from his clutches. And so we have to always keep that in mind when we consider the spiritual armor God has given us. And of course, the point is always made that there is no defenses for the back. It's all on the front side. So that means no retreat. Just simply charge forward by faith in the name of Christ. And so we pick it up in verse number 13, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we already looked at that article. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. We've looked at that article in the last two studies. So this evening, we want to focus in on verse number 15. And your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, we're grateful for your word and, Father, the things we learned from it. Father, we pray that now as we study this topic tonight, that you'll help us to understand that which you've given to us. For your name we pray, and for your glory. Amen. Now, it's interesting that he would deal with the shoes having the feet shod. Of course, the Roman soldiers wouldn't wear what we consider shoes. We would refer to them more as sandals. Now, they'd be sandals with cleats, though. They would drive nails into the sandals to give them spikes on the bottom to give them firmer footing in times of battle. They would also be designed to be able to travel from place to place wherever they were needed. And as we consider our Christian walk, that's exactly what we need. We need to be able to travel easily from place to place where God would have us to serve Him. But as we saw in verse number 13, he's talking about standing. And then again in verse number 14, stand therefore. The sandals, although we may not understand their significance and their importance. Without the proper footwear, if you could call it that, without the proper adornment for the feet, standing would not be possible. One would give ground and one would not be able to get to one's destination. And so this is a very important part of one's spiritual armor. And so, while the sandals were not fashionable, they were practical and they were effective, serving their purpose. When we consider what these feet represent or these sandals represent, that being the preparation of the gospel of peace, we begin to understand how important it is. If we're to win our spiritual battles that God places us in, how much we also need to be prepared with this gospel of peace. So I guess the question tonight would be, can you effectively share the gospel if God should bring you in contact with a lost person? I'm not talking about just handing them a gospel tract, and I'm not just talking about being an example to them, but could you take the word of God? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. And so can you take the Word of God and share the gospel effectively and intelligently with a lost person? I believe that's what it's talking about when it says the preparation of the gospel of peace. If we're to be attacking the gates of hell and winning souls for Christ, it's important and it's necessary that we have our feet shod, that we might be able to reach our destination, and once we reach it, to be able to stand and stand effectively and wage war, because when you're in the battle for souls, the devil is going to be attacking with his fiercest of might. If you're unprepared, You're going to wind up tucking your tail and running. And if you're running, you're leaving your back exposed with no weaponry. And you'll go home defeated and wounded and not ready for war from that point forward. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is very simply defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all according to the Scriptures. It's not a complicated issue. It's a very simple gospel plan, and I believe we all understand that. And sometimes we think that it's overcomplicated when we consider trying to share with another person. We think, well, I just can't do that because it's overcomplicated, and we take the simplicity of the gospel and make it something that it isn't. It's just simply Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried. He was fully dead, 100% dead, the death penalty that you and I owed, and that he rose again the third day. Certainly you can share that with others. Use the Romans road. Romans 3:23, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as that. Prepare yourselves with the gospel. He's talking about that here as part of our armor, part of our equipment, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I think that last word in this verse is also very important. Because if your gospel message, if your attempts to share the gospel are to have any effect, this word takes on great relevance. Because if you're running about your life like someone that's concerned about everything and anxious and worried about every little thing going wrong in life, your gospel message isn't going to have much impact or much effect. People need to see that you have faith in God above and faith in God in heaven, and that you're eternally secure and you have nothing to be concerned about and nothing to worry about. You see, when you try to serve God and you get on in God's active service of His army, and you are in His army, we've talked about that already, whether you like it or not, you enlisted the moment you got saved, and you have no option there. It's just whether you're a good soldier or whether you've gone AWOL. But if you're actively trying to serve God, the devil will bring things into your life to try to cause you to lose the peace that God wants you to have. But peace is a part of the gospel message. And that's what I want to look at tonight. The fact that God gives us peace. And if we experience the peace in our own lives and people observe us experiencing that peace, they'll say that that individual has something that I want. They have something that others don't have and their religion does not provide because they have a true relationship with God and they have true faith in God. You see, we're talking about standing and not slipping, but standing fast, standing therefore. It's done with the feet. The feet represent this gospel of peace. Now, the first thing we learn about peace, we learn from Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. And this should be a familiar verse with you, but I want you to turn to these passages of Scripture. We're going to be turning to them quite rapidly, but do your best to stay up with me tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the peace represented here is not the peace that is an absence from worry. Now, if we're to define peace, and maybe I should have done this previously, but peace is just simply the absence of conflict and turmoil. Peace is the absence of conflict and turmoil. And God tells us here in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, that we can have peace with God. Now, why is that necessary? Why do we need to have peace with God? Well, it's because we're sinners. And it's because we're at enmity with God. We are His declared enemy. God still loves us, but we don't love Him in our lost state. And there isn't a single lost person who loves God. If they did, they would receive the gift of eternal life. But their enmity or their warfare against God is evident in the fact that they stubbornly reject God's simple plan of salvation, and they try so desperately to acquire salvation on their own terms and in their own fashion. And they experience no peace with God. Only those that are saved understand what it is to have peace with God. One who has no peace with God, well, look back a couple of chapters of chapter 2 in Romans, verse number 5. Here's what God says about the one who's lacking the peace with God. Verse number 5 of chapter 2 in the book of Romans. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. What he's talking about here is that person who's stubbornly refusing God's gift of salvation, stubbornly refusing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction and attempts to reveal Jesus Christ as their Savior and as the answer high and lifted up for their sin. The one stubbornly rejecting it is treasuring or hoarding up to themselves the wrath of God in their life at that moment when God will reveal His righteous judgment. They may think that they deserve time in heaven. They may think that they're better than most other individuals on this planet and think that that then will cause them to deserve time in God's heaven. But God says all they're doing is treasuring up wrath, the wrath of God. That's why they need peace with God. That's why we needed peace with God, because we too were treasuring up the wrath of God in the day of judgment. Look in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Talking about having peace with God and the believer being able to stand fast in the Christian warfare and the battle for souls by experiencing and revealing peace to the world, the peace that only God can give, so that they desire it. But those that are without God do not experience this because they're at enmity with Him, because they're treasuring up to themselves wrath, the wrath of God. But look in Isaiah 48, verse number 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, just in case they didn't get it, turn over, if you would, a few chapters to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 21. Look what it tells us here. But let's look up just a couple of verses. Verse number 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and earth. Now, God's giving us an object lesson. He's drawing a picture for us of the life, the turmoil experienced by those that are lost. Now, on the outside, they may look like everything is going well for them. And they may smile and put on a good face, but the truth of the matter is, if you see underneath the waters, you see that the dirt and the mire is stirred up by the turmoil in their lives. They have no peace. Verse number 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God says it two times in the book of Isaiah that there is no peace to the wicked. They don't understand it. They can't experience it. They don't know what it's like. They can be very religious, and that's why they like the pomp and circumstance of the liturgical type service, because it makes them feel religious and it makes them feel like they had an experience and a relationship with God, when all the while it was nothing but of the flesh, because there's no peace to the wicked. Now, when it comes to peace, turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The world wants peace. They want a world that's free of war, and thus we fund the United Nations. But they also more desperately want to have peace with God, with their Maker. Even if they don't acknowledge Him, they want to have peace so that they can have confidence when they face death. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, The Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is the author of peace. He is the only one who can give it. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 tells us that God is the source of peace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And so we find that God is not only the author, but also the source of peace. There is peace from no other means. People are looking for peace in many different ways. They look for it in fulfillment of a successful career. They look for it in a family. They look for it in the bottle or at whatever type of drugs they try to use, looking for peace. And so tranquilizers are given out at epidemic rates in our country because people want peace and they can't find it because they're not looking for it in the right source. Only God can bring peace, lasting and true peace. There is no peace for the wicked because he's at odds with God. He's at enmity. God's enemy is at war with God. Now back in Colossians chapter 1, we find how this peace is made, this peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There's only one way that peace is made available to you and me. Now God is the author of peace and the source of peace. But we can only acquire that peace through the blood of Christ. Peace with God, where he is no longer our enemy, where we're no longer at war with God, but now we're his subject, we're his child, and he's our king and he's our Lord, and we allow him to govern our lives and we obey the things that he tells us to do and he reveals to us in his word. Look in John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27 tells us that this peace that God gives us is a supernatural peace. Part of the reason why the world cannot experience it because they have no understanding of supernatural. To them, everything is by sight, but we live by faith. And when we live by faith, God allows wonderful things to be experienced by us. In John 14, 27, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you. Now, is that true of your life? I hope it is, because that's what God wants for you. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God is talking about a type of peace here that the world just cannot understand, they cannot grasp, they cannot experience, but only you and I can, because it's supernaturally given by its author and source, who is none other than God himself, purchased with the blood of Christ and made available to you and to me as a part of our salvation. That God will take care of us, that God will care for us, that God will control every situation that we encounter and all the circumstances are under his control. And just as with Job, Satan can do nothing more to us than what God allows us to experience. And as we experience those circumstances and those situations in our life, that God is doing it all for one reason. For his glory, that we might reflect and reveal the glory of God to the world about us, to Satan as he cusses against God and hisses against God's people and tries to destroy us and bring us down and blasphemes against the holy name of Jesus Christ. God looks down from heaven and he'll use you as an example and say, isn't this child of mine bringing glory to my name even though you're trying to do so much against him? How you're trying to destroy their life and take the peace away from them, and yet look at them, how they trust me. How they place their life and their circumstances and their situations in my hands, their finances and their health and their families, all at my control, and they trust me with all these things that are most important to them. And Satan can't do anything in response to that except sneer. As long as you live faithfully for God, as long as you're experiencing this peace that only God can give. His peace. His peace. Not as the world giveth. but only as He can give. You see, if we don't receive that peace that God wants us to have, then Satan can stand before God and say, yes, but look at this one. You allowed me to do some things that were uncomfortable in their lives, and look at how they're worrying, and look at how anxious they are, and look at how they're not faithful anymore, because now they've lost their faith and they've begun to live by sight. Don't give the devil that opportunity. That's why God says, stand fast. Put on that Christian armor. Experience your feet shod with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because God has this supernatural peace that He wants to give you and wants you to experience, and it should be the normal Christian experience. Look in John 16, verse 33. God has a lot to say about this because it's a difficult area for the average Christian to walk in. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not just the ability and the capability of sharing the gospel with lost souls that God sends our way, but to be able to experience the fullness of God's salvation, including the peace that He makes available to us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. Notice this. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now think about what He's saying here in this verse. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. He doesn't say you might. There's a chance it might come your way, kind of like the weather report. There's a 10% chance it's going to rain, so what do? We cancel all our outdoor plans and plan to stay inside. 10% chance of rain means there's only 90% it won't. I'm going with that. But He doesn't say that. He doesn't say there's a 10% chance you'll have tribulation. He doesn't say there's a 90% chance you'll have tribulation. He says, in the world you shall have. Expect it. It's coming. If you're not experiencing now, you're probably just coming out of it. If you're not just coming out of it and you're not experiencing now, guess what? You're on your way in. It's coming. Tribulation. God promised us that. But as He tells us that, He tells us also, be of good cheer. Now, don't those two sound contradictory? Tribulation and cheer sound like complete opposites. But they're not. Not in the Christian life, not according to the Word of God. They go hand in hand. Because when we're experiencing the tribulation, we're also experiencing the hand of God working in our lives. And we're seeing Him work all things out, and He's looking down from heaven and smiling as we live by faith, trusting Him to lead us and to guide us to bring all things to work together for good, for them that love God, for them that are called according to His purpose. And so we can have peace with God and peace in our lives. Notice Isaiah 26:3. What God says about peace here. And I think this is the reason so many of us lose peace in our lives as Christians. Because we're like Peter. He faced a little bit of tribulation of his own doing, wasn't it, when he stepped out of the boat. He didn't have to get out of the boat. Jesus didn't tell him, hey, Peter, I want you to step out of that boat right now and come. Jesus didn't say that. Peter got out of his own free will. It was his idea. And Jesus gave him permission. Okay, Peter, come on. You can come to me right on top of that water and you'll be all right. But what did Peter do? What mistake did he make? He looked at the wind and the waves. And when he looked at the wind and the waves, he began to sink because he began to live and walk by sight rather than by faith. As long as he kept his eyes focused on Christ. And that's exactly what Isaiah 26, verse number 3 tells us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So often we look at the circumstances and we consider what all could go wrong. And that's just the way our human minds naturally work. when we see that there's a possibility of something going terribly wrong, that's exactly what we assume will happen. And we can't see anything else. And so we lose our peace because now our eyes are on the wind and the waves and no longer on Christ and what God can do and what we're currently doing under the power of God and the enablement of our Savior. Just like Peter on the water. He was walking on the water. And I told you before, I walk on water a lot. Used to do it a lot more when I was a kid. Because in Michigan, the creeks and the ponds froze up all the time. We went out and played hockey. And so I walked on water a lot. But I never walked on it when it wasn't cold and when it wasn't frozen over. Peter did. Isn't that cool? The things God can do, if we'll just focus on Him. And so when our minds are stayed on God, we're okay. We have that peace. If you don't have peace tonight, I suggest you refocus your attention. Take your attention off whatever the situation or circumstances may be, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whatever it may be, family or relationship issue, whatever it may be, take your eyes off that and focus them on Christ and give it to Him in prayer. Because if our mind is stayed on God, guess where our mind is? It's in an attitude of prayer. And I think when you begin to focus on Christ and allow Him to take over whatever it is and take that burden off your shoulders and give it back to Him and leave it there, I think you'll find the peace return. And I think you'll find the be of good cheer experience in your life. And then I think the world will see something different in your life, that you have a relationship with God that they don't have and the religious people that they know don't have. Yes, I want what he has. I want what she has. Because what they have is real. Did you know that if you don't experience peace, you're not filled with the Spirit? Now, how can I say that? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Think about this. Think it through. If you're filled with the Spirit, yielded to His control, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of the nine aspects of that fruit. One of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, is peace. It's peace. If you don't have peace, you're not yielded fully to the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you yield to the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to allow Him to take you where He wants you to go. He's going to lead you to people that He wants to lead you to. He's going to take you through circumstances that He wants to take you through. If He wants you to be like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, He'll run you into the fire, the furnace of fire, heated hotter than it had ever been, and He'll run you right through it, but He'll be right there with you. But nevertheless, if you yield to the Spirit of God, He's going to take you, and you're going to go willingly wherever it is He chooses. We won't fight against Him. We won't struggle against His leadership. We'll just say, God, I am so glad You're here with me. And this is such joy. Remember what James tells us in chapter 1? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Jesus said in John 16, be of good cheer in regards to tribulation. Because God is at work, and God has entrusted us with these circumstances in our lives, and He doesn't ever expect you to fail. He expects you to come through with shining colors, to be a testimony to His name, and to attract others, just as a light attracts bugs to it in the nighttime. You should attract sinners to Christ if you're giving off the glory of God. Peace. Your feet shod with the preparation for the gospel of peace. Are you prepared to go out with the gospel message? Can you stand fast in the peace that God has given you this evening? If not, I believe the answer is just simply yield to the Holy Spirit of God and just pray, God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I yield myself entirely to Your control. Won't that be your prayer tonight? Father, we thank You for Your word. We're so grateful to learn the things that are ours
the devil would try to convince us otherwise. But Father, your word encourages us with the fact that peace is ours, not as the world gives, but only as you can give. Help us to make this a part of our own personal experience, no matter where you may lead, no matter what those circumstances may be. Father, may peace be a prevailing nature in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.